So, last time around, we started talking about the need for panam chadashos, and we defined panam chadashos in two different ways. One is that you need people who are new, because they will give you greater simcha, and it's about our reaction to them. And the other way to look at it was that that they actually have a chiyuv. It's their obligation. If somebody comes in new, who hasn't participated before in these brachos that are given to them, and now he's in the base chasanim, then he's going to have to make the bracha. That was the last bit that we had done. So now I want to spend today talking about certain issues that come up in terms of panam chadashos. And the first question is, how many panam chadashos do we need? How many people are actually have to be new? So within the Rishonim, the language is a little bit vague. If you take a look on the sheet that I gave you, first of all, the Rambam, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, the Rambam writes, Im hayu ha'ochlin acherim shaloshamu birkas nisuin b'shas nisuin, assuming you have people eating there who are new, who didn't hear birkas nisuin at the time of the wedding, mevarchin bishvilam achar birkas mazon sheva brachos. So you say for them, sheva brachos, kedel shem varchim b'shas nisuin, just like at the nisuin, v'hu sheyiyu asara, assuming there are 10 b'chasanim and aminyan and the chasin counts. So if I look at the Rambam, how many panim chadashos do I need?
More than one.
Why do you say more than one? Okay, plural. So more than one. How else could you read the Rambam? No, the acherim is about the eaters.
I know you want us to say 10, but...
Well, I don't want you to say 10, I want you to say 9. Right? I want you to say 9, because the Rambam writes, if the people who are eating there are people who didn't hear Birkas Nisuin, then you do Sheva Brachos, assuming there are 10. If I go strictly according to the rules of pronoun and antecedent, the they are the new people, in which case there have to be 10, except that he then says the chasen counts. So I guess it's 9. That's what I would have read the Rambam to believe, is that he's talking 9. Needless to say, that's a ridiculous idea in terms of what we actually do. But that's what it sounds like to be from the language. Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, in Tshuva Peivav of his, says you need 2. He takes the view that it's more than one. Panim chadashos, we are marvin bishvilam, that sort of language. The Ran talks about doing Sheva Brachos on Shabbos. And and he says, you don't worry about panim chadashos because, quote, there certainly will be at least one new one present. That's that Ran on the Rif and Beis Amid Beis in Dabei Arif and Ksuvos. So he says, there will certainly be at least one new one present. So therefore, the Mahari Halevi, who is the brother of the Taz, deduces that one is enough.
Isn't it on Shabbos that deals about Shabbos is the new one?
Well, the discussion about Shabbos we'll get to. But it's just when he has this conversation, this point isn't directly relevant to the Shabbos.
Why is it just that the one who are present? Is
there a role? Yeah. That's correct. Why he says that, we'll get to when we talk about counting Shabbos as panim chadashos. But yeah. The tour says, marbin bishvilo, someone for whom they will add. So indicating it's even one. The language in the Shulchan Aruch could again go either way. Take a look at source base. Im hayu ha'ochlin acherim. This is straight out of the Rambam. Shaloshamu birkas nisuin b'shas nisuin mevarchim b'shvilam achar birkas hamazon zayin brachos kedach shem brachim b'shas nisuin v'hu sheyiyu asara v'chasan min aminyin. That the Mechaber is telling you the Rambam's view. And then he says, "V'yesh amrim shafilu hayu b'shas achuba v'shamu abrachos." Some say that even if they were there and they heard the brachos, nonetheless, in luachu shamarata mikvi panim chadashos umevarchem b'shvilam zayin brachos akar berkas hamazon. And some say that if they heard the brachos under the chuppah but they didn't eat, which we'll talk about, that's a separate discussion. That's called panim chadashos, and we make the bracha b'shvilam for them, plural, zayin brachos akar berkas hamazon. So the language there is not quite clear cut, and ditto in some of these Dalit, I didn't even bring it here. It's not clear cut. So what do we do? So the Ben Ish Chai, I brought you here from his Rav Pa'alim in Source Gimel. He says V'yesh Omrim Desagi Lepanim Chadashos Ba'adam Echad. Some say one is enough. Upo Irenu Baghdad Haminok Pasha Lahakvid Shiyu Shnayim. In Baghdad, Ramakvid, there should be 2. V'lo Sagi Lubachad. V'chol Elu pshutim, and he says these are obvious things. The Ben Yishchai says he wants to be two, because that's the minhag there. The Seich Chemed, I didn't retype the whole thing, because he just brings views. So he quotes that Mari Alevi, the brother of the Taz, who says that the Rambam thinks that it's got to be 10.
Bless you. Bless you.
Just says that, not just you?
Yeah. But he says it has to be that the Rambam means 10 for the brachos, not 10 chadashos. It has to mean that you have 10 people present, not 10 who are chadashos. It can't possibly. He says, like we say, the Rambam can't mean that there are 10 chadashos. He says that, no, he says it could mean that, but it's clear that he's not. It's the Mari Alevi, the brother of the Taz. He's not himself saying it. He says, he is. He's the one who actually does seek to prove it. But the Seich Chemed says it can't be. He then says that some seek to prove the Shulchan Aruch believes that, but it's not. It's just a language of...
Just put it up.
Yeah. So he then says some require two, but the Bach and the rest of the world say no, even one. And he says certainly where the minhag is one, that is sufficient, and I'm not concerned about Suffolk Brachos Lahakel because this is the Ohi Paskin on that minhag. It's not called Suffolk Brachos. If we paskin that one is sufficient, then it's not a suffix anymore. We pask it. And therefore, one is enough, and that's it. There is also another view that Seich Chemed quotes, the Amud Eish quotes that the Pharisee Sral say that the majority of the 10 should be new, which is an interesting idea. In practice today, you do have multiple views. I brought you the Abiy Omer from Rav Avadia in Source Hay. He says, Anan bididan po be'eretz hakodesh da harambam zal. This is when he's still living in Egypt. So he says Eretz HaKodesh. I wonder what that means. But he says, in the land of the Rambam, Nechshav Lamara de Asra, that's where the Rambam is king, Yesh lanu lachush lahatzrich shnei anoshim lepanim chadashas kedivei harambam v'rabi avram b'no. So he says, in Egypt we do two. The minch...
What's Rabbi Avram Beno?
That was Rabbi Avram Ben Arambam, who I quoted before.
Oh.
Who said that it was two, because it's plural. Fine. Yeah. The Mincha L'Chaim, who I'm going to quote you later, but I didn't bring it here. The Mincha L'Chaim is a fantastic read. It's worth downloading it from Hebrew Books. It's someone who recorded a whole series of shilos that he asked to Rav Chaim Kanievsky on wedding issues, but also he has the practices of various other gedolim. He has the Rav in there. He has the Chazon Ish in there. It's a very good collection, as you'll see, because I'm going to quote him quite a bit. He has Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach in there, and he also has a nice section at the end where he tries to provide halachic basis for some of the things that he reported in the Sefer. So in Mincha L'Chaim, in Tes Vav, Ayin Vav, Perek Tes Vav is where he brings you all the Rav Chaim Kanievsky tshuvos. So in Tes Vav, Ayin Vav, he says that one suffices from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and the Nitei Gavriel in Nisu and Chelek Beis, Hey Dalet Gimel, also says that one suffices. And I think the general practice by Ashkenaz, and I'm not going to speak for Avadia, but I think our practice generally is that we need one as Panam Chadashos. We don't need beyond one. Okay. I'm guessing this means that Elon's wife had a baby. Sounds like good news. Okay. So that's...
Can you just say the reading of the Rambam one more time? You say, because it's Mevarchim B'Shvila, and that says, who are you, Asara?
The who just means, and this is. It's not about a person. What's your problem within the Rambam?
Why isn't the pronoun antecedent important?
Oh, because the Rambam says if the eaters, what happens is the section before what I quoted here, he says that after the Nisuin and subsequent meals during Shabbat brachos, you're only making the bracha of Asher Bara. And then he says, but if those who are eating there are those who did not hear the brachos b'shas nisuin, then you will make the bracha for them after benching. You will make sheva brachos, assuming there are 10. See, you follow?
I wasn't here for the parashah. What's the whole idea underlying?
Right, so we said two possible explanations. Either one explanation is that it's because we are happier, and therefore it warrants saying Sheva Brachos now that there are new people. The other view is that because they didn't participate in Sheva Brachos beforehand, they have a chiyuv when they're going to eat with the chazanim of actually having Sheva Brachos. That they have to do this on behalf of the chazanim. Those are the two views. If you listen to the audio from last week, we brought some sources for it. Okay. So that's that. In general, I think our practice is the one, but keep in mind this possibility of the two for Svardim. Do the Panim Chadashos actually need to eat? What if they just come in and they hang out with everybody? Is that sufficient? So the answer, of course, is it's a machlokas. The Chalkas Machokik has a discussion of this in Samach Beis Yud Aleph, but here's a basic rundown. The Ran indicates they do not need to eat. That's really our starting point. I thought that I had actually brought the Ran here. I think maybe I didn't because I quoted it elsewhere. On the sheets from last week, I had it. But I don't have it on here. So the Ran writes, it's Ksuvos Bezim and Bez Badapai Harif. He quotes the Ramban to say that they don't need to eat. And it's an explicit statement that they do not need to eat. I'm just going to call it up from the file from last week. If you have Shoah Brachos Part 2. It was... Yeah, if you have Shoah Brachos Part 2, it was source Tez Zayin. He said, Panam Chadashos B'Chayom Shaloha Yusham Esmol, V'Haramban Kasav D'Chol Sheba Panam Chadashos V'Omeid Sham, Aval Pi She'enu Ochal Sham, Mevarchin Sheba Brachos. Right? So the Ramban is very clear. There's no requirement that they actually eat. I'm going to insert that in my own page now. So I've got it here. If you take a look at source Vav, on your sheet, you see that the Rama indeed says, V'yesh omrim b'mahayu panim shama panim chadashas afa pi she'en ochlin shama varach b'shvilam. He's quoting this view of the Ramban as cited by the Ran. And that's the Rama's position. The Aruch HaShulchan explains why. If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, which I brought you here, he writes, Rabbeinu HaRama b'siv zayin kasav v'yesh omrim Dimhayu sham panim chadashos, afal pi she'en ochlin sham bevarach b'shvilam laila v'yom. There you go. There's the Rama quoting that Ramban. V'nirali the dayazu nisyasta al divrei mesecha sofrim sheheveinu. He said this goes back to mesecha sofrim, which we talked about last week as the source for panim chadashos in the first place. The dechol sheish panim chadashos biyom ze shelo hayu sham esmol nachsheves kisimcha chadasha. As long as you have new people who weren't there before, it's a new celebration. Utzichim levarach shava brachos. The kaven di yom ze have a simcha chadasha. So since this day involves new joy, shalo haya esmol, memela dechol hayom b'chol halayla hakodemes roi levarich shava brachos. So that means that you're going to do this now all day and the preceding night. That's its own discussion. We'll come back to the yom ze simcha chadasha v'lachin b'chol haseudos michlalius hayom hazeh. All the meals of this day mevarich and shava brachos halal sheyish b'yom hazeh simcha yaser b'nei panim chadashos, because this day has extra joy because of the panim chadashos. Even though they're not eating there, it's not about the meal, it's about the people. It's just that we do it only with a seuda and so on. So he says that's the only thing that matters. He does continue to say, though, now I realize why I brought the end, he continues to say, we do require that they be there for the Sheva Brachos. In other words, if the Panim Chadashos show up during the meal, but then they leave before benching, that doesn't count. They have to actually be there for benching.
Now, is this contingent on the fact that we assume that Sheva Brachos is not a part of the meal? Like last week, we went through that theme.
So it appears that this does dissociate it from the meal. That is correct. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's position, on which the Mechalkas Machokik does say, something that sort of brings it back towards the meal, in source, it's now source test, if you added in the Ran. Afafi Shein Ochlin Sham, Rak Sha'omid Sham B'Shas HaBracha, which Aruch HaShulchan also said, and he says, and we come up from Nirish Etzor Sheyu B'nei Achupa Smechem Al B'yaso Sham. There still has to be the joy that people have that this person is there. It can't be he popped into the room, no one was particularly happy to see him, and yet you're making Sheva Brachos. V'ashlov Hirbu B'Shvilam, even if they didn't actually add food for them because they're not eating, Mikomakom Roy Laharbos Bishvilam, they're the sort of person you would add for, assuming they were eating. U'kumoshechtav Achar Zeh, like he's going to discuss further. So, yeah.
I mean, very often nowadays, the Hasan and Kala are not hosting their own Sheva Brachos. So when we're talking about Marbe Bishvilan, do we care about the simple of Hasan and Kala or the simple
of... We're coming to it. It's a good question. That was Adam's question from last week. We still have to, we God willing, we'll get to that today. But the answer in brief is that it's not the Hasan and Kala simple. The Pistei Tshuva is more Megill, or he brings sources that are more Megill. This is very interesting. Take a look at source Yud. He says, "I am
more Megill than not, yeah?"
Yes. I am besefer zechor l'Avram shekasav yesh la'ayin ibo inan hani asara shiyochu kulam o shiitztarfu lefachos lezimun kedin zimun bebirkas hamazon. Right? Do they have to eat? Can they just join in? Klomer, I added in, I think the brackets are my own. Klomer becheshvon she'evsher letzareif eileh shalo achu lezimun bederach klal. Meaning, you can't have them be the majority of your group. They have to be the minority. O dilma davka birkas hamazon beinan tziruf. Dim lo kein ech yotziu shekhar mipiyam lomar broshachal l'mashen ki birchas chasanim. Birchas chasanim may not even need this whole cheshbon of tziruf, of saying the majority of the people actually ate. Yesh lomar dechol shehem ba'oso bayis shapir yuchlu levarich birchas chasanim. Maybe they just have to be in the house, not even in the room where you're eating. This Chol Avram suggests. Vehavi b'shem chacham echad shadaito nota de lo ba'ina shiyochlu kol ha'asara aval rov mi'a ba'ina. The message should be that the majority have to eat, just like for benching. The question of whether the carryover of tziruf works, whether the same way that for benching you need the majority to have eaten, so too for panim chadashos, or birkas chasanim, you require them to have eaten. Actually, you know what? Is he talking panim chadashos? Looking at the wording here, I'm not sure he's talking about the panim chadashos. In other words, it could be that I require the panim chadashos be in the room, but not the birkas chasanim. Not the rest of the ten. You follow?
How are you going to bench? I mean, just like you do the...
Yeah, that doesn't work, right? I mean, you need to have 10 present for benching.
Right.
Yeah, no, so that doesn't work. It has to be talking about the panim chadashos.
Right.
Right.
Only if I locate them, not for...
Yeah, but how else is this going to go? In other words, if I have 10 benching, then I can do my Sheva Brachos. Right? Everybody agrees I need 10 present to do Sheva Brachos. I can't do that with them being in other parts of the house.
No, but maybe the Sheva Brachos are inclined to benching, and then you just need 10 for benching.
That's an interesting... I have to look at this part of the Pesach Tshuva again.
That seems to be how he says it.
I want to go back and see the context also, what he's commenting on in there, because this is not clear to me suddenly.
Right. See, because he says the sheker BPM is to say baruch shachamim, but
right.
Eino came birkas chasanim.
Right. No, in a chanami. The Pesach Tshuva also has a line in Source Yud Aleph, which is even more megill. Vayim b'sefer zechor avrul avram shekasav ... v'kasav od, still the zechor le'avram. Im hischilu birkas chasanim v'yud v'yatzu miktsasan, v'chinim hischilu apanim chadashos v'holchu, gomrin. If you started the Sheva Brachos with 10, and then some of them left because the guy was going on in between as they're singing and passing the cup around, and lo and behold, you now lost your 10, or you lost your Panim Chadashos, you can still finish. They now don't have to stay, they have to stay for benching, but they don't have to stay for all Sheva Brachos. It's an interesting point. It's an interesting view. Now, the one last point within this comes from a Rabbi Tosig or Tvisig, who's brought in the vision, it's Be'er Mayim Chayim, Beis. It's Tavshin Nun Ches, number 4. You can find it on Hebrew books, naturally, where he makes an interesting point. I was going to retype it here, but I see that I didn't. He says, the Ramah, in Samach Beis Ches, is going to accept the idea that a chalashudas, a drasha, can count as panim chadashos. He has a whole discussion about Shabbos counting as panim chadashos for the first meal or the first two meals, but it doesn't count for chalashudas. We're going to see that later on also. We'll come back to that when we discuss Shabbos in general and its status for panim chadashos. So the Ramah says, then how is it that we do Sheva Brachos at chalashudas, even though we don't have panim chadashos present? And his answer is, the drasha that they give is panim chadashos. That's the Ramah in Samach Beis Ches. Yes, don't make fun of it. He says the Dvar Torah counts because it causes simcha at the meal. So the right, Shivam Panapadasha said that. That's the classic Reb Chaim. That's the line they quote from Reb Chaim. They asked the question. There was someone who wanted to argue, you could count for Shalashis, you can count a Dvar Torah. If you're not Zan, but you can have Dvar Torah. And the answer was no, because you can shlug up a Dvar Torah, you can't shlug up a piece of fish. Whether Reb Chaim would actually count fish for Shalosh Shudas or require that you eat bread is another story.
That's why Chabad's Yitzchak, they said they're going to work Torah instead.
Really? I didn't know that. Okay. In any case, the point is that this Rav Tvisig writes in this Ber Mayim Chaim, he says, you're counting your drasha as Panim Chadasha, so the drasha doesn't eat. So he says clearly what you're learning is that the emphasis is on simcha, which may derive from the presence of panim chadashos even if they don't eat. So all of these views that I just brought, the Ram, the Zchor Lavram, the Chalkas Mechokik, they all say that there's no need for the panim chadashos to eat. However, there are those who disagree. When you look at Ebenezer Samach Beis in a standard Shulchan Aruch, in the inside margin, there's something called the Hagos Maharim. And the Hagos Maharim says it depends, and this goes back to what Eitan noted also, it depends on whether we tie it to Seuda or not. The view that says we have to be Marib the Seuda, you have to increase the meal in order for them to be part of this Panam Chadashos. In order for them to have Shabbat Brachos requires that the Panam Chadashos do eat. And so Rav Wozner and Shevet Halevi, Ches, Reish Pei, said that you really ought to have them eat. And the Nitei Gavriel, in Nisu and Chelek Beis, Hevav Aleph, also says that they should eat, and he says ideally they should eat bread. He says if they come in mid-meal and eat, that's fine, but they should really be eating. So, Lechatchila, there really is such a concern, despite the fact that we have the Ramban to depend on. Nonetheless, we try to satisfy this view. Which brings me momentarily to return to something we talked about briefly last week. We talked about the question of somebody who was at the chuppah and didn't eat. When we presented the two different things, the two different views for why Panim Chadashos trigger Sheva Brachos, whether it's because they make us happier, or whether it's because they have an obligation, we gave a practical difference between the two views. And that was, what if they were at the chuppah, but they didn't eat then? Right, that was the Aruch HaShulchan's point. If it's about our simcha, so we're happy to have them now. But if it's about their obligation to hear and participate in brachos for the chasen and kala, they already did it at the chuppah. So we saw back then that the Shevet Halevi disagreed with his analysis, and we saw the Nitei Gavriel rule that they are still eligible as panim chadashos. Right? We saw that. So here's a question: within the view that they do have to eat in order to be no longer qualified as panim chadashos. In other words, according to the view that if they were just at the chuppah, then they still qualify as panim chadashos. What if they went to the wedding meal and they ate mizonos? They didn't actually sit down and have bread. So I brought you for the Mincha L'Chaim Tezvav Tess in Source Yud Gimel. This was a question that he asked of Chaim Knievsky. She'ela. Mishi Gila Chatunala Achar HaChuppah. So actually, no, I'm sorry. He wasn't at the chuppah in this question. Achal ma'at mine targima. He had a little bit of food, which isn't even necessarily mizonos. Targima can be peros. Targima can be fish. So he ate non-bread at the meal. So, ha'im besuda shavrach b'yam mabayim chashim panim chadashos, o kevin shetam dvar ma b'chatuna, pakamine din panim chadashos. Maybe he loses that. Tshuva. This is the classic approach of Kanievsky and all of his tshuvos in this sefer and in general. Right? The question is 100 or 200 words, and his answer is 3. So he says, tshuva, kemeduma she'in din panim chadashos. Yeah, no panim chadashos there. In other words, eating anything at the meal, even having missed the chuppah, removes your panim chadashos eligibility for the future.
And were you at the Sheva Brachos for the meal or not?
Yes, I think he has to have been at the Sheva Brachos for the meal. I think that's actually there in the question. Did it? Actually, no, he doesn't say. It says achal v'halach.
Yeah, so that's what...
You're right.
What does halach mean? I'm assuming before, no?
Yeah, you're right. Halach sounds like he left before. And yet, that's going to be good enough for him. So that's not within the view that you have to have Sheva Brachos. According to this, it sounds like actually like Rav Wozner's analysis. It sounds like it's Rav Wozner's analysis that really what's going on is that once they've been there, we aren't so happy with them anymore. They just don't bring us joy. No. You don't feel the joy of something new if it's somebody who has been there and participated before, even if his participation was not full.
Then why do we care if he ate at all?
Why do we care if he ate at all? I guess because the eating is what, you know, the eating is what means they participated. If they stood there, then it did. The problem is that this whole thing is very subjective. And really, it's going to be even more subjective as we go along. We're going to find other areas in which it's subjective. So you sort of feel like, why are you articulating rules at all? Yeah. Why don't we say, is there simcha or isn't there simcha? And the answer may be, because it's really hard for people to make that kind of an evaluation. Rabbi Tzion Abba Shaul is brought in a footnote in Mincha L'Chaim to say, no, he's still eligible because he didn't have bread. Another question he asks, what if he ate at the chassan's dish, but not at the meal? So the Ber Moshe, Rav Sternbach, in Source Yudalit, says, Mashanana me'amishta sha'osim lefnei achasan bekala lefnei achupa ein zekhul. Right, which makes sense, because they weren't married yet. They aren't married yet, why should it? However, the Nitei Gavriel in Nisuin Beis, Hey Aleph, does imply that eating at the chassan's tish loses eligibility. So, apparently there is such an idea. Okay. The next of the Panim Chadashos questions I want to address. Do Panim Chadashos work that night and the following day? We've seen language like that already. Or is it only at that meal? In other words, today is Tuesday. Tuesday night we have a Sheva Brachos meal, and there's a big celebration, and we have Panim Chadashos. The next day, Wednesday lunch, there are no Panim Chadashos present, but we have 10. Do we say Sheva Brachos the next day? So the answer is, of course, it's a machlokas.
Is it totally separate meal, totally separate day?
Correct. Totally new people. Except for the Chazon and Kala. Take a look at the Ran in Source Tesvav.
So do we have a stira in the machlokas in the last so we have a general practice or not really?
No, I've never seen the question even asked, to be honest.
Someone did meet, but it was there.
Yeah. I've never even seen the question asked, so I don't know. But what we have, certainly based on this machlokas, is the ability to rely on somebody in the event that you're stuck. If all you can drum up for your Panim Chadashos is, you know, this guy who happened to have been at the chassan's tish, or the person who popped into the wedding and then left, you have somebody to depend on. We're going to see a much better thing to be somechan if we get through it today in the issue of the aniyim. We're going to see a very interesting line. I think it was from. Well, we'll see. We'll get there. God willing. So hang in there. But the question of whether they work for the following day, the Ran in Source, you probably still have it as Yadalit on your sheet. It's now Tesvav on mine. But the Ran says, V'kasvu od v'tosvos shembo panam chadashos balayla mevarchen olav layla v'yom. Okay, it works for the next day too. As long as the Panim Chadashos was there for the bracha, they will work the next day also.
And doesn't mean he's there for the next day bracha.
No, I think he does. I think he means he has to be there the next day for it. But he counts as Panim Chadashos even though he's not Chadash anymore. If you take a look at Tezayin, the Rama says v'yesh omrim dim hayusham Panim Chadashos afal v'shein ochlin sham. Which was a side note. Mivarch b'shvilam laila v'yom. He's quoting the Ran. On the other hand, the Chalkas Machokig disagrees, and he goes back to the Rush, which we saw 2 weeks ago. Remember the discussion of the Rush about Sheva Brachos for the Alman and Almana, where their chuppah is before Shkia, and then their first meal is after Shkia, and how I define Yom Kama, how I define the first day for them. So the Chalkas Machokig says, commenting on the Ramah's laila v'yom. The reason to take this approach is to say the night, the day follows the preceding night. The whole day is called new. He says that the first day, some say, means the first meal. Mashma miyad bo bayom su'uda shnia lo mikri panam chadashos. Right? By saying the first day means the first meal, that means if there's another meal that day, it's not going to count. And every meal is going to need it. And indeed, the Beis Shmuel says we don't follow the Rama. And I think that's standard practice. We don't follow the Rama on this. We require Panam Chadashas for every meal. If you take a look at the Beis Shmuel in Source Yeches, he says, Kvar kasavti, rov poskim cholkim al zed. Therefore, they needed to explain how it is that even if Shabbos counts as Panam Chadashos, how is it that they count as Panam Chadashos the next day? Right? He says, if we believed that Panam Chadashos works for the next day as well, then you wouldn't have a question of how it is that Shabbos can count for Shabbos lunch. Does Shabbos do Panam Chadashos? Uladaz Ramash Avikan Das Poskim Elu, Ubisamuk Kasav Tam Hadam Avarach and Besuda Shlishis, Mishum Hadrasha, Bekanam Kipanam Hadashas. He says, now I've got a problem. Right? He says, now I don't understand. The Ramah, on the one hand, quotes this view that says that they count Laila Vayom. And then on the other hand, when it comes to Shabbos, he needs to discuss how it is that you can count Panam Hadashas for Shalashuddas. But he believes that Panam Chadashos count the whole day. Said Sarach Lomer, you have to say, Mashakasav kan mevorchem laila veyom, hainu su'uda achas bayom, su'uda achas balaila. So you need to say that Panam Chadashos means one meal during night and one meal the next day, velo yoser, and no more than that. And that's why he has to justify Shalash Judas. Bishamachi, Sarach Litain Tam, hadam mevorchem su'uda shlishis. Do you follow? Miss that?
Yes.
Okay. What he's saying is this, again. The Rama brought me a view that said that Panam Chadashos will count not just for the first meal, but the whole day. Into the, you know, it counts for dinner and it counts for the following day as well. He says, we don't believe him. And the proof we don't believe him is the fact that when it comes to Shabbos, we need to provide an argument to justify relying on Shabbos the next morning. So the fact that we need to come up with an argument to rely on Shabbos the next morning shows that we don't believe Panam Chadashos continues to the next morning. Well, what am I going to do with the Rama? Because the Rama believes Panam Chadashos do continue to the next day. However, when it comes to Shalash Shuddas, he needs to provide a justification for why it works for Shalash Shuddas. I don't understand. So his answer is, the answer that Beis Shmuel gives, is that that Shalash Shuddas is different because even according to the Rama, it only means one meal at night and one meal the next day. It wouldn't work for an extra meal the following day. Now the truth of the matter is, there are other answers you could give. Sorry?
An extra meal within the day.
Right.
Because the first meal of the next day is the morning meal, lunch, and that is Shalash Shuddas.
Right. So if it'll work for the morning meal, and it won't work for Shalash Shuddas. That's correct. That's how he justifies the Rama. You could offer other explanations. I mean, you could, for example, suggest that Shabbos is not as strong a Panam Chadashos as real Panam Chadashos are. Real Panam Chadashos are Laila V'yom, and Shabbos is just the first, you know, the first meal, and that would have answered his initial point. The other question that I have is, according to him, what if you have two meals at night? What if they ate in the beginning of the night? It's one of these winter Shabboses, right? So they sat down at like 5:30, they had a meal, it ended, and then they had a late night cholent. So will it count for that? When he says Suda Achas Bayom with Suda Achas Balaila, what does that mean? It means Suda Achas? For both? I'm not entirely clear on what the Beis Shmuel is putting out here, but I think we paskin this way in general. We do say Panam Chadashos is just for the meal. Now we don't say it works for the following day. So now we come back to the question that Adam asked last week and that Josh asked this week. The question of who has to be happy at the presence of Panam Chadashos, which is going to have all sorts of applications. The classic application is the drop-in case, right? Where we need Panam Chadashos, get somebody down the hall to stop in and he'll be Panam Chadashos. So, it's an achlokes rishonim. If you take a look at Source Yutes, or you have it as Yutes, the Ran writes, the kasvu b'shem Rabbeinu Tamzal, dahai panam chadashos hainu shesmeichim alav b'nei hachupa. Panam chadashos means that the people at the wedding are the people of the chuppah, I should say, are happy. Who has to be happy according to the Ran?
B'nei
hachupa. I don't know what b'nei hachupa means. Maybe, but it could just easily be the people who are celebrating at the chuppah, meaning everybody. You could read it. You could easily read it that way. That the phrase is used that way in other places. But now you take a look at the Mordechai in source Chaf. V'hu shebo panam chadashos. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Same Rabbeinu Tam. Which, by the way, I can't find anywhere. I hunted and hunted. Looked in Sefer Yashar, looked in Tos. I can't find where this Rabbeinu Tam originates. But but he says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Panim Chadashos, Karoi Adam Chashuv, Shehu Kivod HaChasan. V'derech Lagos B'Shvilo. Avalin Shacharin Olo. It's the honor of the Chasan. This is very clearly about the Chasan. Maybe the Chasan and the Kala, if you want to be egalitarian. But the Mordechai says, it's the Chasan. So, I can't track down this Rabbeinu Tam anywhere. But we're quoting him both ways.
Not necessarily.
Assuming you read B'nai Chuppah your way, fine. But B'nai Chuppah normally doesn't mean that. Like when you learn about B'nai Chuppah in Sukkah, and they talk about it there, it's not. B'nai Chuppah means the celebrants. It doesn't just mean the Chasakal. So, the Mincha L'Chaim in Tes Vav Kuf Mem Ches records that the question was asked of Rav Chaim Knievsky. The question was, here's a whole long story. It's one of these tshuvas again, where it's this long story. He said, the person down the hall was being shav brachas for his nephew, and they didn't have somebody, and they knocked on my door, and I refused to go. Because they didn't increase the se'udah for me. The chassan doesn't even know me. So, what's I right? And Rav Chaim replies, who says the chassan has to be happy? It's about the mesuvan being happy. He takes the view that it's about the people who are there. So going back to our question then, if it's somebody who the host knows and the chassan and kala never met and have no idea who the person is and they didn't even give them a wedding gift, nonetheless, they're going to count as Shavu Brachos, as Panim Chadashos for Shavu Brachos, as long as the hosts are happy that they're there.
Like they don't know neither the host nor the chassan and kala?
So that's what we're getting to now.
Okay.
So some of the guests, they don't know the guests.
So what we're gonna now talk about, this last piece that I want to get to, is the question of you're sitting there at the meal and you don't have Panim Chadashos, and then a mashulach knocks on the door. Or you pick up somebody who's in need of a meal. Or you're doing Shev Brachos in a restaurant and there are no Panim Chadashos, but you want to count the waiter. So does this person count for your Panim Chadashos? So the Mincha L'Chaim quotes views on different sides. If you take a look at source Chaf Aleph or Chaf, he here tells the story about the Chazon Ish, which in the footnote he goes on at length to tell you the whole story. Like, you know this story really happened. He's naming names about whose wedding this was and who made the Sheva Brachos and so on. It's not just a random story about the Chazon Ish. But here's the short version. By the way, you know what he also mentions in there? The Chazon Ish was never a Masadar Kiddushin. He was never a Masadar Kiddushin. Very interesting. Anyway, Once he was present for the Chazon Ish was present for Sheva Brachos. They didn't have Panim Chadashos there. Suddenly, Hopper came in the door. So does he count or not? Omar Rabbeinu lePanim Chadashos Tzarech Levarer Bamitbach. He says you have to evaluate whether someone qualifies as Panim Chadashos based on the kitchen. And I added in brackets what he means. Is this someone for whom they increase the meal? There has to be some element of joy, so it would appear. The
Chinuch
of
the same?
Sorry?
Increase the meal could be a practical thing. There's another person who's increased the meal, not necessarily their joy.
No, so again, I go back to the point that we made, it was last week or 2 weeks ago, that increasing the meal doesn't mean quantity. Increasing the meal means you say, I should have prepared more food, I should have prepared nicer stuff, because this person is here. That's what we're talking about.
What is their chashuv?
It doesn't just mean that you add it, that there will be physically enough food for people to eat.
What is their chashuv, but they don't bring simcha?
So I may have an answer actually for you on that, based on a comment that we'll see from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai has did I quote it? I don't know if I quoted it in here. If I didn't, then I'll tell you. He counts as chashuv in as much as not additional food, but special food. Yeah, special food, not additional. It's not that we didn't have enough. It's that he comes in, we say, oh, we should have had really nice stuff for this person. The word marbid is a misleading word in that sense. So the Chid of Achizda on Ksuvos, Kufyat Aleph, says that it says, you know what, the ani counts automatically because there's simcha b'mitzvah. You're taking care of the ani. This is quoted by Rav Avadia in his tshuva in Gimel Evan Ezer Yud Aleph Hey. So he says there's joy at the mitzvah. That's one view. Another view, though, is no, only if he actually makes you happy. Like the line that the Chazon Ish said when the pauper entered, and in a footnote there on that line of the Mincha L'Chaim, he quotes from Zilberstein as saying that Rabbi Yashiv ruled likewise, that it has to be an important person. If you take a look at source Chaf Aleph in yours, Mincha L'Chaim has the question asked of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Sheila, Muva b'shem Marana HaChazon Ish, Tepanam Chadashas Tzara Sheyubu B'shvilo Se'uda. Right? It's brought from the Chazon Ish that they have to add something, some food for him, but Tzarech Levarer El Zeba Mitbach Adkan, and they have to clarify that in the kitchen. That's, he's quoting himself from that story. Amnam L'chora Yesh Lomar, it's a Davka Shabbaha Ani B'mikra, but maybe that's only if the pauper comes by happenstance. Can I have it to knock on your door? Avalim Karu L'ani B'miyuchad, but if they invited him, Kedei L'zakoso B'mitzvah, so that he should be able to participate in the mitzvah, Ra'isi L'misha Kasav, the Yesh Lomar Shabbat Brachos, then I have seen those who say that you do make Shabbat Brachos. V'chizek Dvarov Midivrei HaRambam, the Sheikar Mitzvah Simchla Sameach Anashim Ha'umlalim. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah that Simcha is not about eating. Simcha is about gladdening other people who are in need. He said that if your Simcha is because you're eating food, that's called Simchas Kreso. That's the Simcha of your belly. That's not real Simcha. It's a classic Rambam. Very relevant with Purim coming up. So he says based on that, there's simcha if you bring in the pauper. You invited him in, and you want to make him part of your su'udah, and so on. Imkein balei simcha nanim mizeh sheyesh lo moreach ani, v'havi simcha l'chazen v'kala, v'shaper yachol l'varech, they can make the bracha. U'befrat, sh'al yedei zeh yachbesu ani l'chol sheva brachas, v'yismichu lev hom lalem. This is social engineering, right? Like hiring the aniim to make the matzah. By telling people this, they're going to go looking for aniim to go have at their sheva brachas. Really a beautiful thing. V'gam ha'ani yivarech ha'chasen b'kala b'cholibo. Right? The pauper is going to make it with a full heart. He's going to make the bracha. V'zeba atzmo simchas ha'chasen b'kala. And they're going to be very happy when someone is so enthusiastic about giving them the bracha. Adkan. Ha'im yesh lismo chazel lahalacha. So can you rely on this lahalacha? Tshuva? Two words. Im smechen. Yeah, if they're happy. You can't pin it down based on rules.
Who's happy?
So again, that goes back to our question before. But I said the Chaim's view, Chaim Kanievsky's view, is that it's the is that actually I'm sorry, Chaim's view. Okay. Oh no, I'm sorry, that's right. The Chaim's view is that it has to be that's the Mesubin who can be happy. It's not the Chasen and Kala. It's the Mesubin. Okay. There is though this other view. We've seen now one view that says you're doing a mitzvah tzedakah, and therefore you're happy. We have a second view that says, no, is his presence making you happy? And then you have a third view that says he has to actually come for the purpose of celebrating. Like this invitation view that he quoted here. The Sova Samachos says he has to come in order to gladden him. And the Nitei Gavriel seems to say that also in source Chav Gimel, or Chav Beis. Ani Shemachilin Oso V'taras Tzedakah. If you're feeding him as Tzedakah, some say he counts because you're happy that you're doing tzedakah. That was the first you before. And some say, some say he doesn't count because he didn't come for the celebration. However, if you invited him to be part of the mitzvah, then you would say the bracha. So you have three different requirements. One, joy for tzedakah. Two, joy for his presence. Three, joy that he actually is invited for. That's the most strict of the views. But we also have two lenient views. One view is Rav Avadia. Rav Avadia is Nyabia Omer Gimel Evan Ezer Yud Aleph Hey. He says, since I don't require that food actually be added for somebody, right? It has to be the type of person, but not that food be added, then the ani who walks in the door is going to count. And this view is also stated by the Ben Ish Chai in Rav Pa'alim, Dalid Ebenu Ezer Vav. And there he says, I thought I might have brought on the sheet, but I see I didn't. He says, the only rule is that they shouldn't make you uncomfortable. He says, sometimes you get somebody who comes in who needs help and you're going to give him food, but you're waiting for him to leave because it really makes you uncomfortable having him there. Maybe he hasn't been able to shower or whatever it is. He says, if it's that sort of a situation, then you can't say Shabbat Brachos. Then there's no simcha involved in having him there. You're just doing your mitzvah because you want to help this person, but there's no simcha involved. So that's the Ben Ish Chai standard. For more elaboration on that, see the Mincha L'Chaim, pages 318 to 319 in the PDF. He has more on this, Tshuva Rav Avadya. But that's a lenient view. Rav Avadya is willing to do it. Even if it's just tzedakah, he's willing to do it as long as the person isn't repulsed. The Shuas van Hagos is the other one who has a very lenient view on this. And he says, go back to the discussion that they have about Shalosh Shudas. If you take a look at source Chav Dalet or Chav Gimel, V'nira Lefiyoni is Daiti. In my humble opinion, Shasom Chinal Harama Evena Ezer Shabesud Ashlish is Ein Panam Chadash Osom Mikol Makom Avarach and Shabbat Brachas. He says, look. He says, the Rama says that you, at Shalosh Shudas you can do Shabbat Brachas without Panam Chadashos and without counting Shabbos either, as we said. And the reason is because we give a Dvar Torah that makes people happy. So here he says something very important about your Dvar Torah at Shabbat Brachas. He says, V'koshkein etzleinu, certainly for us, in our case, im hadrasha hi v'shevach hachasan v'kala, if the Dvar Torah is about the phrases of the chasan and kala, usmeichin v'kach, so that there's joy, note, he seems to be emphasizing their joy, mo'il kapanam chadashos, that will work as panam chadashos. And therefore, we'll be mekel and accept people who are new, even if they're archiu parchi. Archiu parchi is a phrase for guests who are just, you know, standard people who pop in all the time, who don't bring you any special joy. We use the same phrase, you may remember, when we discussed Hesed Merubah and the question of if guests are showing up and you don't have food for them, does that count as Hesed Merubah? And we said it depended on the type of guest. There are people who are in and out of your house all the time, and then there's a guest who came in from out of town. So the ones who are local are the Archi Uparchi, and they really shouldn't count as developing your simcha. But he says, we do it. Why? Because the Dvar Torah works. So he says, that's now my justification for the minog. But he says, the people who do this should not just go on at length with a nice drush. Their Dvar Torah should be in praise of the chasan and the kala and their family. So that's the lesson. Your Dvar Torah for Shabbat Brachos should not be a long, you know, chidush of whatever. And it should make sure to incorporate the praises of the chasan and kala and their family. That's the Jewish on Hagos, because that way you have to do simcha even if you don't have panam chadashos who aren't simcha. So again, in terms of the ani who walks in the door, you have a multiplicity of views. Some say he has to have been invited. Some say that you have to have joy in his presence. Some say even tzedakah counts. And then you have Rav Avadya and the Shuas van Hagos who say, don't worry about it, we can accept him. However it is, maybe if he's, you know, if he's repulsive, it's another story. But barring that, we'd be willing to accept him. So now we turn to the question of the waiter. You're doing your Shabbat Brachos at the restaurant. You can't drum up a Panam Chadashos. Can you just say, okay, the waiter will count? So first of all, obviously he has to eat. Right? Like any issue of Mizuman and the question of whether the Shamash counts for a Mizuman, he's going to have to be a part of the Seuda. Yes, as Panam Chadashos, but if you want to count him for the 10. I mean, we can be mitzvah someone who didn't eat, who's there, but he has to be koveya somehow. Let me put it that way. Right, that could also be. But the Mincha L'Chaim brings two other requirements in order to accept him. Number one, simcha, as we've said. And then also, he quotes the Shlomo Zalman, that's funny, I wrote here, Shiloh Chaim Kineski, it's not Shlomo Zalman Orbach. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, if you take a look, Ha'ochel ba'akroi ba'alma, b'makom sheh chasen b'kala mesubin shan, somebody who happens to be eating there where they are. So let's say you did at a restaurant and then you didn't have a reserved room, so there's someone at the next table. And you say, oh, you weren't at the wedding. Your count is panam chadashos. Vein kavanaso kla lichvodam. And he's not there. He has no intent of honoring the chasen and kala. And the brackets are there. Kigon meltzar biyameinu chedomeh. Let's say a waiter. The word meltzar, by the way, does not necessarily mean waiter, but that's a separate discussion from the beginning of Daniel. Very briefly, people think the word meltzar means waiter because that's the way we use it today. But it comes from the pasuk in Daniel with the fellow who brings the food to Daniel, and they reject the food. So it says he speaks to Hamelzar. So there are some who suggest that actually in context there, Hamelzar is the person's name. And that we've come to use it that way because of people who read the pasuk and thought Hamelzar meant the waiter. But in any case, he says, for people like that, Eino mischayev b'sheva brachos. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, if the person just happens to be there, or is there for some other purpose, like he's being the waiter, then he doesn't count. He says he has to actually be invited in order to count.
So about the guy down the hall? He's not really
so then the question is, what will he say about the fellow down the hall? I suspect that he would have to say the same thing, but maybe not. You know what? You invited him, you just invited him late. But he did come in, and he is now a participant, as opposed to the waiter, who is somewhere, he's there because he has a job to do.
Maybe he doesn't bring simcha. I need to bring simcha because it's a mitzvah, sounds like.
Well, that was a separate requirement, was that there should be simcha. Simcha plus invitation, he's saying.
Well, that's part of it. Well, if there needs to be simcha, then the waiter question should get off the ground.
Unless he's an entertaining waiter.
No, I think the waiter brings simcha. So that, it must be that to get the waiter question off the ground, you have to say that they don't need simcha, no?
Unless he's someone you know, or some other reason why he would be providing simcha. It seems to me, after all is said and done, that either we're going to adopt the view of Rav Avadya and the Shuas Van Hagos and just be really lenient and say everybody counts, or we're going to be strict about our standards and say there has to be simcha and the person has to really be a part of the suda, and we're going to reject the whole pool of people. We're going to reject the ani who walks in. We're going to reject the waiter, all the person sitting at the next table, and we'll say none of them count. In other words, really what Adam is saying. In other words, either there is a simple standard, and it's a high standard, or there isn't a simple standard, in which case I can just bring them all in.
Rav Avadya said everyone counts.
There isn't going to be a case where you would just invite the Meltzar, but not the Ani, but the other way around.
Right, so the only difference would be if you're going to say an Ani who was invited.
Right.
Because then you're making an invitation, your criteria.
What's Rav Avadya's Svara?
Registrar is based on the idea that we don't actually require that food be added for them. So once I don't need food to be added for them, so what's the big
deal? No, define, meaning what's inviting? You have a waiter, but so you invite him to sit down with you. I mean, he's not doing his job anymore.
Well, that's the point about the guy who lives down the hall also.
Right.
In a chanai.
But, in essence, you don't invite him, but then you still need, he doesn't have to eat, but does he still need simcha? No. Or invite him, you don't need to eat, and you don't need simcha?
You don't need to eat, and you don't. Rav Avadya is saying that simcha is a very minimal standard. I don't think he's dropping simcha as a requirement the way that Shuvas Van Hago seems to. I think he's simply saying that the standard is very low for it. That seems to be kind of what he's saying.
Then what's the point? Why is it right? Is there a kasuv? It's a new face?
This is what our sources say for defining panam chadashos. Yeah, because we have a Sechah Sofrim, and everybody quotes it as saying, and if they're Panam Chadashos, then you do Sheva Bracha. So, understanding what that means, and then the criterion of the Afu Marbe Bishvilam, like Rabbeinu Tam says, is where all this starts.
Yes, it also means Marbe Bishvilam.
Remember, our initial question was, what does Marbe Bishvilam mean? Does it mean increasing food? What is actually being increased? Right, that was what we said last time, because Tosfos just said first he said that they're marba simcha, then he said people from your marba su'uda and simcha, right? And then the Ran said marba simcha, and the Mordechai said the people that you're marba food for, and the Shulchan Aruch just said marba bishvilam, and it sounded like that meant food.
But that he's going to say neither.
No, he's going to say simcha, but he has a very low standard for what is marba simcha.
How
is it? I am waiting for someone to say something, abstract about Adar.
Well,
I'm the guy down the hall. Fine, he's your friend, but you only talk to him 2 times a year, so maybe that's a little sinful. But the waiter is zero sinful.
This is what I have. And we'll pick up with that, God willing, next week. I expect to finish the topic next week with, what do I have left here? A discussion about Shabbos counting, the question of women and Sheva Brachos, counting for the 10, counting for Panam Chadashos, the question of saying Simcha B'Ma'ono in a mixed group, and then a nice little Vartara from Dibros Moshe on why we require 10 in a chuppah.
I was just going to say that about women. Women are part